Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer, intern Nick, Ladarius Robinson here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, there's going to come a point where I forget how many people are with us today. I've done well so far. We've got five.
You're doing very well. Good job.
Did you take your thoughts on the Preds on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are live from Pete and Terry's Tavern outside Bridgestone Arena in advance of tonight's Game 4 contest between the Preds and the Colorado Avalanche. Puck drop at 8:30, pregame at 7:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds trying to hold off elimination tonight as they trail 3-0, the Colorado Avalanche in this series. We're looking at the Preds franchise as a whole, taking your thoughts on how you feel about the trajectory of this team. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Dustin in Hopkinsville texting in says, "It's the first time I've ever said this. Other teams have continually improved while we've gotten worse since 2017. I would blow up the roster. Anyone over 27 years old other than Yossi is replaceable, but Poile can't be there to blow it up. He used to draft great defensemen. When's the last time that really happened? If we continue with what we have, I think we miss the playoffs, or at best barely squeak in. It's time to accept having a bad team with young, promising guys who show us highlight reels every now and then that eventually wow us to a Stanley Cup." This is coming from Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line. So Dustin's, he's ready. He's ready to blow it up.
Dustin's on team blow it up.
He is.
So again, I'm like, okay, fly on the wall with some members of the ownership group. You know?
Yeah.
Sounds great. Well, look, there's a lot of cautionary tales of this in this league as well, of this idea of, you know, you just get really bad for a couple year, 2-3 years, and you come back stronger than ever. And there's some it's not just the Sabres. It's not just the Red Wings. I mean, there's teams that have been wandering around the wilderness. Those are both good examples. In recent times.
Well, the Blackhawks are creeping into that territory now in terms of the rebuild, and it looks like it's not going to get any better anytime soon. Now, the obvious retort to that is, well, that's great. They won 3 Stanley Cups. I'll take it.
And that's exactly right.
You would if you're a Predators fan at that point. I'm just saying, rebuild-wise, sometimes it's not quite as easy as, all right, well, they'll be bad for 2 years, and then they'll be right back in the playoffs with a chance to build towards something. Sometimes it don't work out that way.
I know for sure this idea of anybody older than 27, get out. Yeah, that's definitely not the way you want to look at it. But I understand what you're saying. You know, what's Johansson going to be in the next few years? What's Duchesne? Look, Duchesne, you got to tip the cap to Duchesne and what he's done this year. It's been tremendous. I don't know. How sustainable this is, or how many more seasons he has like that, but I think I would want him on my team next year based on this year. Is there an off season of moves that you could realistically make? And I'm talking, and this is the model of trying to stay competitive, trying to hang in there, which I think the ownership group would like to see. You're going to make the playoffs next year, right? You know, is there a reasonable path to not being a top contender, but being more of a threat next year? You got to add another forward of impact.
You do, and you've got some money to play with this offseason. Now, as Scott on the text line brings up, my biggest concern at this point is potentially losing Forsberg for nothing instead of getting something at the deadline to build for the future. I mean, that's kind of
a legit concern.
That's the nightmare scenario for the Predators at this point, is you lose, whether it's tonight, game 5, game 6, whenever, and you're out of the playoffs against Colorado, and then all of a sudden you don't really get anywhere with Forsberg and he goes to free agency, and then you've lost him for nothing, and you've lost him for nothing to get swept in the first round. That's going to be tough for the fan base to swallow at that point.
Well, if that happens, if Forsberg walks, does that not, If we're looking at this like just two paths, and I know there's actually probably a lot of there's a lot of nuance within the two paths, but let's just say it's the two paths of you're trying to push forward with this group and you're trying to add to it and you think that you can still be really good, or you know that you've got to do something more than just a minor reset. I mean, if Forsberg walks, isn't that the path now you have to look at? I guess it depends on what the correspondent is. Now we have all this other money.
Yeah, like if Forsberg,
talk yourself into it.
If Forsberg walks and you go sign Johnny Gaudreau, like, I mean, Johnny Gaudreau is a better player than Philip Forsberg is. Put up 113 points or whatever it was this year. Now, he did that on a different team. But, I mean, you know, it depends on what the corresponding move would be there. I know this. If you lose Forsberg and then you don't go get a guy like that in free agency, it's hard to see where the offense is coming from
next
year.
It's hard to say you're competitive.
Yeah.
By the way, Johnny Gaudreau, you're right. I mean, he's a dazzling player. He's also looking like, you know, a small guy in the playoffs who's getting pushed around and not producing.
Big Donnie in Nashville texting in says, you need four lines to win a cup. UC Saros should only have 50 starts next year. You blow up the herd line and says, I'm going to say it. I don't see a heart to this team. Who has the heart?
Okay.
Guys, I don't know what more Roman Josi needs to do for you guys to – like, I heard some of this the other day, too, of, like, the cap, like the leadership and the captain.
Oh,
like,
God.
What does Josi have to do at this point? Like, he's the captain. Put up 96 freaking points this year. He had a big goal the other day in the playoffs. Like, sometimes it's not as simple as, hey, the captain is not good enough leadership-wise.
I mean, but, yeah. Well, also the just the overall, like, the heart thing. They played their guts out the other day.
They did.
I mean, look, I mean, we're talking about Forsberg, right? Forsberg, the guy who may or may not walk, is up for a huge deal, scored 40 goals this year. I mean, I saw him go human missile on a guy.
Skated from Murfreesboro, yeah.
To, you know, maybe it was a frustration play, but watch 5 minutes of these games. I just, this is part of why it's such a great sport, and it's such an incredibly difficult trophy to win. I mean, there's no, you can't play this sport, and especially this time of year, if you don't have a ton of heart.
So we've talked about this, and, you know, there's a ton of this on our text line this morning, too. If they lose, whether it's tonight, game five, whenever, and you're out in the first round again, keep in mind, they have not won a playoff series since back in 18 against the Colorado Avalanche. So that was kind of the infancy, the founding stages of what we're seeing right now with this Colorado Avalanche team. Haven't won a playoff series since then. What does it all mean for Poile and Hines? And, you know, Hines, I think you and I have made our position on that pretty clear. I think he's done a good job. I think John Hines deserves to be the coach of this team next year. I know a lot of Predators fans disagree with that, and I understand the frustration of not getting past the first round of the playoffs in a while. I think Hines has done a good job. I think a lot of the Predators' problems right now are more roster-based than they are anything else. If they get swept tonight, what do you think that means for those two, Hines and Poile? Does it mean anything?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little strange to me that Hines hasn't been extended. And, again, I've said this consistently. I've written it consistently. I'll say it for the 10 millionth time. The idea that David Poile would get to fire John Hines and hire another coach, to me, is that's mismanagement of a franchise. I don't think that should happen. I mean, to me, if you're going to make a big move, then you have to start with Poile. And then if that's the case, then whoever your new GM is, you know, would probably get to hire his own coach. So is the fact that he hasn't been extended, does that mean that there is consideration? I mean, I don't know. It's with an ownership group, it's just a different kind of deal. And I think frustrating for fans. You know, you don't feel like you have that one person who's, you know, tied to the ups and downs of a franchise, right? I mean, it's a group, and hey, we know the history of the franchise. It's an awful time, awful clutch group of people. But in times like this, you kind of don't know. I mean, Sean Henry has spoken for them in the past, and I think it's going to come up again. You know, who's calling the shots, and how are they looking at David Poile? I mean, I know a lot of fans are back to wanting him out, and I think it's a reasonable it's very reasonable to criticize him and the way things have gone. When you make a big move like that, it's also who's out there, you know, who's coming in and definitely it's just different than most franchises. I mean, this has been a quarter century of the same. That doesn't happen in pro sports.
No.
So it's also, it's kind of like, in a way, I think it's cool. Like, it's like this, you know, it's kind of like, it just doesn't feel like a pro franchise. It's almost more like a college athletic department where you may have the same AD forever or whatever. I mean, I know that's not a perfect comparison. But the bottom line is, in pro sports, I mean, if you underperform over a certain number of years, that's what happens. You know, you change management, you change coaches. We know in this league, the coach changing is you know, goes nuts. It hasn't with this franchise, but I don't know. I think all that stuff should be on the table, and I think ownership, someone from the ownership group at some point needs to become visible and speak to the fans.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Preds on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How significant is the challenge of being down three games to a
team like this? Yeah, you know, you have to win one. I think when you look at it right now, we got a group that's been resilient. We know what it is. You know, we know we're in a series, and you're not out of a series until it hits four. So, you know, our objective isn't you know, where it's going is we have to rest and recover and regroup a little bit tomorrow. We got to get back ready to play a game on Monday.
That was John Hines after game three between the Predators and the Avalanche. Preds in an 0-3 series hole for the first time in the history of their franchise. Obviously, if that's the case, that means they're going to avoid the sweep, trying to avoid the sweep for the first time in the history of their franchise tonight in game four here at Bridgestone Arena. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Wes texting in says, can you guys see the ownership group asking Poile to, quote, retire? Is coming from Wes on the text line. I don't know.
A forced retirement?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, look, I think an ownership group of a professional sports franchise needs to be ready to make big moves when necessary. There's always way more information available to those people than people like us on the outside. But the most important thing is performance and trajectory. And, you know, Poile, I think that you go back to last season in the early going when it was looking real rough.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it looked to me, there was a lot of talk about Poile's job everywhere. Again, us, every show in town, you know, a lot of writing about it in various outlets. I mean, it was a big thing. And then they had that tremendous turnaround, and it kind of carried over into this year. And you see, as you know, and you know, you see some of these young guys coming along. It's like, okay, well, he had some good moves in there. He had a stretch of like bad move after bad move after bad move. That, I mean, even the Duchesne move,
yeah,
as of the end of last year, looked like a terrible overpay, and now that looks better. So I mean, it's been better for him in terms of if you're going by, you know, move by move with him and things have panned out.
Let's think about the last two moves. I mean, Arvidsson and Ellis. Ellis played four games this year, and I don't know if he's ever going to be the same again. Like, I don't know if he's going to be the same player again.
Yeah.
Because his injuries are piling up at this point, and there's some weird stuff going on with him down there in Philadelphia. We'll see what happens on that front. You know, Arvidsson was okay this year for the Kings. He hadn't played yet in the playoffs. He's been unavailable. So, like, I would argue that those two moves, yeah, and I know the first thing people are going to say is, you got back Philip Myers and Cody Glass for Ryan Ellis. I understand that. But getting out of that Ellis contract, I think, is a big deal for the Predators.
No,
now, he signed him to that contract, too. So, I understand that. But even those two, I'd toss in there this year.
Right. No, those are examples of getting out at the right time, you know, which is so big. I mean, you look at John Robinson. He's been, now, you know, A.J. Brown, maybe a different thing, but we don't have time for that today. But, you know, John Robinson has been pretty good at being ahead of the decline, you know, that which is actually a Patriots tradition that he's upheld. So that's a big thing. Yeah, those are good moves. Now, I guess you could look at this team. You have Forsberg, of course, which is going to be a big problem. If they lose him for nothing, then everyone's going to be mad at Poile, and they should be.
I mean, yeah.
That's totally fair. He also went out and, you know, and he could have tried to get a forward. You threw some ideas out there at the deadline and got Jeremy Lauzon for a second-round pick, which just still that's a tough one to totally get. Look, the overall answer to that question is, I mean, I have no idea. But I think that that's fair to talk about and should be considered. Again, you've got to, to me, just like with any, even like go to a college football team or whatever it is, and you're going to fire someone, you know, what's your plan? You know, like firing just to fire. I mean, it appeared to me when Poyle fired Laviolette. I mean, John Hines was hired, what, 5 seconds later?
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
That was the plan. Now, some people weren't excited about that, and some people want to blame Hines now. Coach is going to get some heat. As someone pointed out on the text line, he's never won a playoff series. That's true, but he also coached he took over a very bad New Jersey Devils franchise, did get them to one playoff series, did get a great season on Taylor Hall, and he's 3-for-3 in getting to the postseason.
I mean, look,
here,
the Predators were way overmatched last year against Carolina, and they're way overmatched this year against Colorado. They should have beaten Arizona in the bubble. Now, it's the bubble. It's weird. There was really no excuse to lose that to that Arizona team. But what did they do after they lost to Arizona? I mean, they kind of blew things up. They changed things around. Craig Smith was gone. Kyle Turris was bought out. I mean, there's a whole lot going on there. So, yeah. I mean, if there's one series I point to right now where, you know, you put blame on the coach or the team for not winning the series, it's the Arizona series.
Yep, that's fair. And when you look at what you just said, they're way overmatched last year in the first round. They're way overmatched this year. Okay, so we're talking quality of team, which, again, is why I just think if we're going to talk about people getting fired and all that stuff, I absolutely reject, like, Poyle is going to go find another coach, and we're going to put this on the coach. I think John Hines, relative to what he inherited and all that has gone on here, I think John Hines has been just fine. And at times, I would say pretty darn good.
Hank in Hendersonville on the text line says, the fire Poyle and Hines blowhards make me wonder if the better move would be blowing up and rebuilding this fan base. This is coming from Hank on the text line. Got another texter that says, I totally disagree with blowing up the team and firing everyone. We need scoring depth like most teams. Take the L.A. Rams approach. Give up draft picks for legitimate proven talent. This is coming from a texter on the text line. Well, the problem is in the NHL, you cannot navigate through the salary cap like you can in the NFL.
Exactly. You can't, yeah. I mean, the salary cap, I mean, if you want to compare the two,
the NHL salary cap's not real in the NFL compared to the NHL.
Exactly. Like, you're not restructuring a bunch of deals and fitting this guy in and fitting that guy in. Terry says, as a season ticket holder, it would be hard for me to sit through 3 years of garbage if we blow it up.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, it was interesting watching the building on Saturday because I think all of us kind of had our eyebrows raised a little bit when the puck dropped for that game. We're like, huh, where is everybody? Now, there was traffic. Apparently the vice president was in town, which I didn't know about until the other day, apparently. And there was some difficulty with parking down here and getting in the building, all those things. So as the game went on, I mean, the place, it started to fill up. And then you had the game transpire the way that it did, and you know, it's 6-3 at one point in the third period, and people are leaving. So I won't say – I mean, I'll say this. That was not a typical, to me, Bridgestone Arena playoff-level atmosphere. It just wasn't. Like, it didn't feel like a playoff game all that much on Saturday in Game 3. Now, how much of that is what we just talked about with people kind of struggling to get in the building on time? How much of that is what's taking place in this series so far? Your goalie's out. You're down 0-2 heading in. Now you're down 0-3. I think it's probably some of that too. But to Terry's point, the fan base is different now. It's different than it was. It's bigger than it was. So there's a bigger fan base.
And that's what you're trying to do.
And that's what you're trying to do. And the Predators have done a really good job of building their fan base. Now, what they've not had to do in a long time, since basically the DNA of this city has changed, the Predators have been good. And they've been in the mix, and they've been in the playoffs. What happens if they're not, and they do go the other way, and they do decide to rebuild? How patient is the fan base? What does attendance look like? These are questions we've not had to ask around here in a long time. But to your point, Joe, those are absolutely questions that ownership is going to want to know the answer to. And to Terry's point, I do think rebuild sounds great if you get 2 years deep into it and you're no closer to coming out on the other side of it than you were when you started. How patient is the fan base at that point?
Exactly. And so then, because what we saw Saturday was we saw really good seats that were unoccupied, which I think you're probably right. Like if the series looked different, if it was tied, if they'd found some way to win game two, or if UC Soros was active, or if it just looked more competitive, maybe some of those really expensive seats are gobbled up. But it was just a weird deal. Like the upper reaches were full. There were times when it was a good atmosphere. Like, again, if you're going to just go on a baseline of, like, your average, you know, NHL building.
Sure.
It was a good atmosphere, but it wasn't what we're used to here. And think about it. I mean, that was the first chance in 3 years to have. As you said, we were talking about it, you know, on Press Row the other day. It felt still like it was full for the Carolina series. But they didn't, you know, they weren't able to go to capacity.
Yep.
Last year. So this is the first time since that loss to Dallas in Game 5 of 19 where you had a chance to have a full building for a playoff game. And I think that, to me, it spoke to some level of, I guess, disillusionment with where things are going or just lack of confidence, you know, that this team, you know, can compete at the highest level. Real quick on the text line, I'm CEO of a large company. Send money. Thank you. I know bad leadership when I see it. Feels like the while passionate about winning, aren't passionate about their coach or their GM. Hashtag convertible coach of presidents. Yeah, because there's a lot of teams out there like, let's win one for the GM, folks.
I just don't understand this way of thinking. I really don't. Look, the guys want to win. I mean, as you said, Joe, they played their guts out on Saturday. Now, they didn't execute great, especially on the penalty kill, and they're outmatched in this series. It is what it is. Like, they're not as good as Colorado, and quite frankly, it's not close. Like, they are heavily outmatched in this series. I don't question the passion or the desire or the work ethic of the Predators. They're just not as good as the Avalanche.
It's like I'd love for someone to show me. I'm sure that there's an example. I'd love for someone to show me, like, in a Stanley Cup playoffs game at any this year, last year, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know. Players dogging it out there.
Just going through the motions.
Weak shifts. I mean, it's you know, you can't play this sport. I mean, I don't think you play this more than the regular season like that. The passion is not the issue here, folks.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. By the way, some quick breaking news on the Titans. They will be on Monday Night Football coming up in week two against the Buffalo Bills. Traveling to Buffalo in week two on Monday Night Football. So, at least one Monday Night Football game for the Titans next year.
What percentage of that stadium in Buffalo will be Titans fans?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to ask Jared to count it up for me.
Guess we'll have to find out. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay every single week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many different ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. Now, the 76ers have tied up the series with my beloved Miami Heat, but it's coming back to Miami. I still think the Heat have what it takes to get it done. Give me the Heat on the money line. Give me Jimmy Butler over on points. Give me Bam Adebayo over on rebounds. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with promo code Rob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is Rob. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet, no sweat. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same-game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet of $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We got some tickets to give away to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. 615-737-1025. 1025. Talking Preds, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got the Rex Rant coming up at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us at 8 o'clock. Let's get to your thoughts on the text line. I got a text that says they were not even close to competitive. That's why people turned away. Wayne on the text line wondering how many empty seats will be there tonight in Bridgestone Arena. I don't know. I mean, it's a playoff game, and their attendance has been – that's the other thing. Like, their attendance has been really good all year. They're in the top five in the league in attendance all year. So that was
no doubt.
Yeah, the weird part of the other day.
Well, and it is all relative, and I know this gets into, like, fan – you know, of course, like, the other day – tweeted something about all the empty seats. I mean, it was like maybe, I don't know, 50-60% full at Puck Drop. Again, there were some factors there. But then, like, Peter Bau, who, you know, covers the Avs for us at The Athletic, retweeted it. And so then all these Avs fans are like, oh, because the Preds fans, blah, blah, blah. You know, look at the address of blah, blah, blah. Whatever the policy that people get all mad about every year.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's a fantastic atmosphere and fan base, and it's one of the best places in the league. The comparison to me, again, was previous playoff games have always been a big jump from the regular season, right? The timeouts, just the effort and the constant noise and things. You just don't see that in everywhere, you know? And Saturday was a good atmosphere. It was good. But it wasn't what I'm used to seeing or what you're used to seeing or people who've been here a lot longer than me are used to seeing.
I got a texter on the text line that says, in my opinion, three things need to happen this offseason. Number one, let Forsberg walk and trade Duchesne and Johansson for picks and D-men. We're already in a hole. We don't need to end up like Chicago with toxic contracts. Number two, fire Hines and give Joel Quenneville what he wants to come rebuild with us. And number three, go with Saros and Ingram next year. Well, number three, I think will happen. I think Saros and Ingram will be the goaltending duo next year.
Yeah,
I don't understand the let Forsberg walk thing. Like, if that was your plan, you should have traded
then
at the deadline.
You get now, stuff for him.
Now, maybe that for some fans that was their plan at the deadline. We heard from some of them on the text line, but now that you haven't done it, probably want to get that guy back. Now, I understand. We talked about this earlier. He has not been productive. 0 points through three games in the playoffs. He's been underwhelming in the playoffs three of the last 4 years. He was good in the Arizona series. He's okay last year against Carolina. He was awful against Dallas. Everybody was awful against Dallas other than Rocco Grimaldi. Now, some people are acting like he's never produced in the playoffs before. He was over a point a game in 18 and was fantastic in those playoffs. He was fantastic in 17 on their run to the Cup final. So he can do it in the playoffs, and he scored 42 goals this year. I don't know about you. Probably guy I want on my team moving forward. That's just me. Now, the Joel Quenneville thing, they may – look, I don't think they're going to fire John Hines. I don't think they should fire John Hines. Maybe they do. I can tell you this. Joel Quenneville is not going to be the hire if that happens. I don't know if y'all paid attention to some
– yeah, there's been some
off
issues.
Off-the-ice stuff from the Chicago Blackhawks that's come out over the last year, but Joel Quenneville is not going to be the next head coach.
He's not going to coach in the NHL again. Justin from Nashville. Poile has been cup chasing since 2017. Never managed to properly evaluate this team. This is long. I may have to do some dot, dot, dots in this text. I made it to the finals. Took a bit of luck that you won't get every year. The core of the team's never been strong enough. Having the first 40 goal scorers, you know, is on Poile in 20 plus years on Poile. It didn't even draft either of those players. You can't only hit on defensemen and goalies in the draft. Heard that a lot.
All right, can we stop with the not drafting? Philip Forsberg was 18 years old when he came here. I understand that they didn't draft him, but can we stop acting like the Predators didn't develop Philip Forsberg? He was 18 when he got here.
Right. Now, there's not enough, right? There hasn't been enough success to find it forwards.
But let's stop acting like Philip Forsberg is like he came from somewhere else. He never set foot in the Washington building. He was traded.
I mean, if you're going to have the Forsberg discussion as a Poile discussion, it's one of his best moves.
Yeah.
So, you know, but and then it ends up with ownership's content, making plenty of money on the building, being one of the most popular event centers in the country, which they keep the majority of the profits from. So I don't see them doing the right thing in firing Poile, who has the job security of a Supreme Court justice. And this is where, with Poile and Preds fans, it's just there's just no science to this, right? There's no science to because people are loudly angry and want someone fired. How many people just aren't saying anything who don't, you know? But I do feel like you know, talking to Preds fans helps. Getting not just on, you know, in on social media or here or whatever. I mean, I do feel like there's quite a bit of discontent, which kind of faded for a while because things got better.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of back. I think we're heading back to, certainly, if this series ends the way it's headed, and then if Forsberg walks, that may be the maddest people have been yet at David Poile.
JC in Goodlettsville texting in says, you can't catch playoff lightning in a bottle. Third longest playoff streak, or if you're not in the third longest playoff streak in the NHL. The only gripe with Poile is the Johansson deal. He has to be moved to develop a second line with scoring. If we lose top prospects or someone to eat the contract, so be it. Can we line up the, quote, no heart people to block some slap shots from Nate MacKinnon? This coming from JC in Goodlettsville on the text line.
Yeah. They don't have enough good players. They don't have as many good players as the top teams in the NHL. They are playing their guts out.
Caleb texting in says, Robbie, can you explain how teams like Colorado and Tampa and others are so loaded and so deep, yet it seems we're struggling to find a solid top six? Look.
It's choices.
It's choices. And this is, I will say, you know, I got fired up about the Forsberg thing because people too often act like the Predators did not develop him. He was traded here when he was 18 years old. There's been nowhere near the amount of elite-level forwards for this franchise to be around for 25 years. Like, there needs to be some better forwards that come through here. I don't think there's any question about that. So, I mean, you look at Colorado. How did they get guys like this? I mean, they sucked for a while. That's how they got it. Nathan
but
MacKinnon.
But you still make good choices.
You make good choices, right. But you got Nathan MacKinnon, you know, Gabriel Landeskog. I mean, even on the back end, Cale Makar came via trade. Sammy Girard, as we know, came via trade.
Yep.
So, I mean, some of it is you make some good moves that way, but Nathan MacKinnon is the driver of their team, and he was selected first overall because Colorado was bad. You know, Steven Stamkos was a high draft pick. Now, the one that stands out is, as you look at the Lightning part of this, Nikita Kucherov was like a, I want to say he was like third round, fourth round, something like that.
And that's, and look, so like Roman Josi, for example, a second round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, though you've got to be able to hit on some of the non-obvious. Like MacKinnon was one of those things where he has lived up to it, but how do you get there? I mean, you can't count on getting number one overall. You had to be there to get him, right? But it's still, you still have to find some of these. Well, Arvidsson here was an example, certainly, of a heck of a find by David Poile and his staff, and it was a developed forward who was a heck of a player here for several years. You keep that one in mind.
And some of it's development too, right? I mean, Kevin Fiala was a first-round pick, and he showed flashes here but never really figured it out. And now he put up 80 points or whatever he did this year in Minnesota. I mean, some of it is, you know, you missed on some guys like that as well. So it's a complete factor. But, I mean, there's no question, as they move forward here, and I think it's been a little better of late. We'll see what happens with Tomasino. And they just drafted two forwards in the first round last year too. So we'll see what happens with those two guys. But it's got to be better in terms of getting those top guys at the elite level at forward. But honestly, a lot of those guys come very high in the draft, and the Predators just haven't really been there lately.
So there's the case to blow it up. You could get there.
Maybe so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rexroad, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. And we got a little taste of it earlier in the show to begin the show. I feel like Joe's ready for this one. Fired up today here on the program. Joe Rexroad, I turn things over to you.
Thank you. So the Memphis Grizzlies have been a great story. I think one of the best stories in American sports this year. I think Ja Morant, one of the bright young stars in American sports. And they're going to be a factor. The Grizzlies, Morant, for a while. I don't know that they're going to be a factor a lot longer in this postseason. It's 2-1. We'll see. But with Morant's right knee bothering him again, of course, that knee cost him a good chunk of this season. doubtful for tonight's game. Four, already down 2-1 in the series because the Grizzlies got run off the floor Saturday before he hurt the knee. You know, they're in a tough spot. If they go down 3-1, I mean, you know, this could be it for this run. We'll see. You know, they've also played really well with him. But however long this goes, I want to beg of the reasonable among Memphis Grizzlies fans, please don't do the conspiracy theory Twitter, Dr. Twitter physicist crap. I mean, I understand being upset with Steve Kerr and this, you know, the Dylan Brooks broke the code quote. I get it. You know, that basically suggests that Brooks was hoping to injure Gary Payton Jr. when he clubbed him in the head, send him to the ground to a fractured elbow. Kerr was emotional, and he was a bit dramatic about it. It was a dirty play, but, like, intent to injure, no. And I think that's for unreasonable Warriors fans. I also get Taylor Jenkins doing all he can right now to appeal to the league, to look at Jordan Poole grabbing Morant's knee, because you got to play that game. You got to try to give yourself every edge. You play the officials publicly. You campaign for the opposition to get a suspension, just like Dylan Brooks was suspended. And by the way, Poole missing a game would be a much bigger deal than Brooks. That'd be helpful for the Grizzlies. But if you look at that Poole play, and please watch it at regular speed, not just slow-mo. In slow-mo, you can seriously you can talk yourself into a lot of things. Think about it with the best athletes in the world, really fast play that happens like this, and you're grabbing at stuff. This happens all the time. If you look at that play and you think he tried in that moment to injure Ja Morant or that he actually did damage there, I mean, I have the biggest tinfoil hat in the world for you to wear. Just don't do this. It really is embarrassing. I mean, I can't get into Jordan Poole's head, but if that was his plan for injuring Ja Morant, up 25 late in the game, trying to trap him at half court, give his knee a little squeeze, then he needs to have a meeting with Jeff Galooly to figure out what you'd really be doing, okay? And that video showed Poole bumping into the planted knee, by the way, right before that, which actually could have had some impact. Oh, and by the way, there's also a video of Morant earlier in the game coming down awkwardly on the knee and then hopping on the left leg because he hurt it. But, hey, let's ignore that and talk about this because it makes for a good soap opera. Let's call it Dumb Days of Our Lives.
Well, hey, this is not just a Memphis Grizzlies fan thing. Taylor Jenkins is all in on this, man. He is convinced. John Morant's all in on it. He's convinced that this is what happened. This is how the Warriors have taken him out of the series at this point and tweeted that the Warriors broke the code after this happened in Game 3.
Yeah, well, right, and then he deleted the tweet.
He did.
Now, again, so I took Ja's tweet as, like, those guys. I mean, those guys are all ticked off about what Kerr said, and they said it. They're like, Dylan Brooks is not a dirty guy. They're going to defend their guy. And I don't blame them I don't blame them for being upset about that.
Sure.
But, you know, I'll be interested to hear if Ja Morant, when this is all over with, to hear his true thoughts about that play, whether it did anything, whether he thought he meant to do something. I mean, Taylor Jenkins, you got to try. You got to try.
Yeah.
You get Jordan Poole out of a game, you have a much better chance to win that game. He's destroying them. I mean, you could make the case that Dylan Brooks being off the floor has helped the Grizzlies. I mean, I think Williams has actually played well, although maybe they can get a boost from him tonight. But, I mean, I don't – like, Taylor Jenkins – is doing this now, and it's worth trying. Meanwhile, Steve Kerr is not even touching this stuff, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. I mean, he's like, what? You know, but honestly, I mean, it's just, you're really taking leaps here. You're really taking leaps. Again, watch the play in real time. The ball's there, then the ball's over here. Well, in slow motion, the ball's way over there. What are you reaching here for? Okay, watch it in real time. It would be the dumbest planned attempt to hurt someone ever.
Mark from Clarksville texting in says, I agree, in game time speed, it was not dirty or intentional. He was grabbing for the ball and missed. Only morons actually think that it was intentional. This is coming from Mark from Clarksville, also known as Joe Rexrod on the text line.
Oh, did you see me texting that?
Yes.
Yeah, as I was talking, I was like, here, this is a text of support for you. Thank you, Mark from Clarksville. Come on. And no. So if you're a Grizzlies fan, you know, I understand this sucks. I mean, it sucks.
Oh, it's a punch to the gut.
You know. So it's also natural to want to, like, lash out. And again, there's been, like, you had the Draymond thing, then you had the Dylan Brooks thing, and now you have this. But this is not those, okay? I mean, this is not those.
Well, now you're in a situation where you're down 2-1 in the series. Doesn't look like John Morant's going to be in there for game four. Now, I guess he hasn't officially been ruled out, but doubtful is probably the term that's the best to use for his status in game four. So if he can't play, I know people are going to point to the Grizzlies' record without him this year, which has been very good in the regular season. I want to say it was something like, what was it, like 21-3?
22-6 or something like that?
Yeah, it was crazy, like how good they were without him. I'm here to tell you, if they don't have him in this game, it's going to be rough sailing for the Grizzlies in game four. Just my guess.
20-5.
I could be wrong, but so neither one of us right. 20-5 without John Morant this year, but playoffs are a little bit different animal, especially on the road against that team.
However, this does go along with the different things we've talked about, those moments that Ryan Johansson's out, the Preds go out there for game five, and lo and behold, Pontus Aberg, before he was Pontus Aberg, scores a huge goal. You know, there is a psychology to this tonight that will absolutely play in Memphis's favor. But they're going to need Bane. They're going to need to shoot like they did in the first quarter, and then do it the rest of the game. And you know, I do think that the Warriors will regress with their shooting after they just went nuts the other day. That was terrible defense by the Grizzlies too. I think it could be interesting with this dynamic and with all the stuff going on around this.
Big Stephen Adams game tonight.
20-20. And then, well, he's on his way. And then he's out there on one defensive possession. They see him in the pick and roll defensively. Like, all right, yeah, come on back, Stephen. Never mind.
Find yourself back on the bench. This has been the Rex Road with Joe, or the Rex Road, the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can catch it every day.
The Road to Ruin
at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds and the Avalanche. Get to some Titans thoughts as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.